I want you to realize what it means to have Dr. Wasserman here making a Siyum HaShas. If any of you have been tracking, the last Siyum HaShas he made was closer to 3 years ago, not 7.5 years ago. So this is a double pace. So it's doubly special and unbelievable. And there's so much to learn from Dr. Wasserman. And this is just one of those ways to think about all the things he has to do, and he still finds the time to seriously learn Torah every day, wherever he is. Two blot a day. I dare to say I challenge you, because I would be nervous to say that. But challenge yourself in some way. Channel and challenge yourself in some way from the inspiration of being here tonight and participating in the Siyum.
Okay, thank you, Rav Kolinsky. Thank you to everyone who made this wonderful Shabbaton possible. Apologies that at the tail end of the Shabbaton, I am quite hoarse. And so hopefully we'll be able to get through the full Siyum together. Bershut HaRabbanim, Bichvod Ma'esh Yisrael, who is a key part of making this possible. Also to our Deal Talmidim, Bichvod, you guys, and especially to my Night Seder Chevra, who also helped me get a lot of this done. What are we doing here? Having a Siyum HaShas that is almost exactly wrongly timed. We are 3¾ years from the last Siyum HaShas. We are 3¾ years until the next Siyum HaShas. So let me talk about three drivers that led to this before we get into the Siyum. This is a little bit of a hakdama. The seeds were planted about two or three Siyum HaShas ago at the big Siyum HaShas when Rabbi Frand was speaking. Rabbi Frand was looking right at me when he was saying this. He said that if this time around, this is after my first round, if this time around you spent about 40 minutes or so just reading through the daf, now start going to a shir. If this time around you were in a shir, find some other way to be able to up your game, to be able to go mechayel el chayel. You can't just keep doing the same thing round after round. And so that, to me, was the challenge that was thrown down by Rabbi Frand. Last cycle, what I did to be able to meet it was I would take each daf and do three rounds through it. Night before, I would be doing my own pass, marking up my Gemara, and being able to see what I could get out of it. Then, in the morning, I would listen to Rav Aryeh Leibowitz's shir, the best daf shir on the planet, my Rebbe Mufak for the last cycle of daf. And then, after that, I would do a Chazara Shir, or mark up what things I missed. Those are my three rounds. So what could I do this time around? So this time around, I decided to see, can I go to double daf? Be able to do two dafim. So let's push a pause on that for a second. We'll come back around to how that translated into what we're going to be doing. So the second of the things that was a major driver was at the Siyum HaShas back on January 1st, 2020. At it, they had the booklet that they give out with all sorts of things on the daf, including about half of it ads. But one of the stories that they had in there was about the founding of Daf Yomi. And my son Yishai saw it in there, and he knows that the word founding will get my attention. That's what I've spent my life over the last 25 years looking at. And so he said, Abba, take a look at this. Well, some of the things that I learned were intriguing. One of the things that I learned is that Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of DAF, introduced the concept at the First World Congress of the World Agudat Yisrael. This was back on August 16th, 1923. What was his main goal? I actually didn't understand this until I was doing research for this just about a week ago. His main goal wasn't necessarily the tochen, the substance of what you're going to get. It was actually achdus, bringing unity to B'nai Yisrael. How would they do that? This is what Rav Meir Shapiro wrote. When two Jews from different towns or even different countries meet, the knowledge they share in the Gemara currently being studied will help them form a deep bond of friendship. So it's actually the Achdus that was the priority for him and why he was doing this new innovation to be able to change the world. An interesting thing is that the Chafetz Chaim, who was also there at the Congress, he had been actually bothered for a long time by the neglect of, if you will, the orphaned masechtas, the ones that people saw as irrelevant. And he actually loved the idea of Daf Yomi as a way to reinvigorate those orphaned masechtas. And so he saw Daf Yomi as a solution to that. And so the Daf started on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, 5684. Rosh Hashanah 1923 happened to be September 11th, 1923. What did that mean when I was reading that in there? Well, what is the 100th anniversary of the founding of Daf Yomi? Rosh Hashanah 2023. This week, Rosh Hashanah. And so that was the second of the drivers of, we're going to be having the 100th anniversary of this world-changing innovation that Rameo Shapiro came up with. I also did a calculation. If you are doing two dafim a day, you will finish the week of Rosh Hashanah 2023. So I set the goal of being able to do my next Siyum HaShas to celebrate and mark the 100th anniversary of this major innovation. The challenge that I faced, and we'll just be very quick about this part, was how could I keep the Achdus if I'm doing two dafim a day? From the second day onwards, I was going to be off from the rest of the world. And so at a suggestion of a visitor to our home, I ended up doing first half of Shas, the first page, together with the second half of Shas. So Brachos Beis at the same time as Kiddushin Beis. The next day, Brachos Gimel, Kiddushin Gimel. And that way I could be in sync with everyone, but still be able to do double daf, have the Achdus and also the Token, and be able to get to the 100th anniversary and to be able to celebrate it. What does that also mean, though? The midpoint of Shas is coming up in a little more than a week. So a great trivia question for you. What is the midpoint of Shas? It's Kiddushin Daf Lamed Chest. And that's what Daf Yomi is going to be doing on September 20th, on the 5th of Tishrei. And so mazel tov to all the people who have been doing Daf Yomi on hitting what's a key milestone of being halfway through the cycle. And also, key way in which I would love to wish a mazel tov also to Avi Mori and Imi Morati. They've actually been doing daf since before this cycle started. And so having them be able to also celebrate and mark that milestone, something very meaningful for us. And so essentially, those are the first two of the drivers. The third one is a mechayev that I created for myself 2 years ago. This is opening night. The night that we had like the base medrash open for the first time of that year, I was giving my siyum on Sanhedrin that night. I told this story, and I said to everyone who was in the Gluck base medrash then, come to my siyum on your 100th anniversary right before Rosh Hashanah 2023. And so with that as a stake in the ground, there was no way that I could back away from it. And so that is one of the other things that was pouring fuel on the fire for us to be here now. So we're going to knit together a couple of things in terms of both the Masechta, the end of the first half, that's Gittin, might sound familiar to a bunch of you, and also from the Masechta at the end of Shas, Nida. So let me pose two famous questions that we're going to tackle. First, a famous interview question. With whom would you want to have dinner throughout history? Think about what you would answer to that. Second question, what are the most important and pivotal one-liners in all of history? How many of you are doing Gittin right now? I mean, just finished Gittin. Okay, we've got a sea of hands here. Can anyone come up with a name of someone who can answer both of those questions for us from Gittin? Key hint, Gittin Nun Vav and a couple of Dapim after that. So who would that be? Okay, to me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the one that I would answer both of these questions with. Let's get to know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a little bit. First off, this is from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Talks about he lived 120 years, 40, 40, 40. First 40 years, he was actually an entrepreneur. He was involved in Prakmadia. He was essentially a trader. He was doing a bunch of things to be able to support his family, his life. And so he was starting out as a business person. The second 40 years, Lamad, he was learning. He was also learning during the early part of his 40 years, but very deep full-time Lamad for this middle 40 years. And then Limeid and led B'nai Yisrael for the last 40 years. And so Prakmadia, we mentioned, purchasing merchandise, being able to be an entrepreneur with it. Things didn't start off well for him as a Rav. He was actually a Rav in the Galil. This is what the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us in Shabbos, that for 18 years he was a Rav in the Galil in a town called Arav, and he got very upset at his congregants because in those 18 years they only asked him two shilas. To him that said, you're not taking your Torah seriously. And so he decided to leave and he went down to Yerushalayim instead. He persisted despite that disappointment, still persisted with his Torah business life to be able to bring the two of them together. Okay, so let me introduce now to understand some of the key leadership things that he was doing. Let me introduce a concept from entrepreneurship. We're going to be moving back and forth between Torah U entrepreneurship to be able to understand this a little bit. That concept is something that we called a blueprint, Yashriel blueprint. It's essentially how things work, what is the business model, what is the way it operates. Let's talk about the blueprint that B'nai Israel were following until the Churban. This was the blueprint that you could call, in some ways, their Beis HaMikdash blueprint or their Eretz Yisrael blueprint. What was that focused on? The blueprint was a very centralized one. We had the Beis HaMikdash. That was what our focus was on. Brick and mortar, the physical building as being the center of Yiddishkeit. And the korbanos that we would bring as being a key element of our Avodas Hashem. And then what happened? Right in the middle of when Rabbi Yochanan was leading B'nai Yisrael, the Churban hit. Now, suddenly, does that blueprint exist anymore? Is there the Beis HaMikdash? Are there their Korbanos? What does Yiddishkeit mean when your blueprint has been blown up? That was what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was facing at that point. And in addition, also complicated by a whole bunch of ways in which Yiddishkeit was being attacked from within. So you had the Tzedukim who are attacking Chazal, attacking the Rabbanan. For instance, one example for you is from the Gemara Menachos. They had the famous debate about when is Shavuos going to be. Mimacharas HaShabbos. And Chazal pushing back against what the Tzedukim were saying. Who do you think is cited there as pushing back against them? Just one example. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Very pivotal debate that was going to shape the future of Yiddishkeit. And also internally, you had the Zealots who were very much saying, we've got to take on the enemy. We have to undo them, and it led to all sorts of problems within Yerushalayim. And so focusing now, the siege of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was in Yerushalayim when it was being sieged. His nephew happened to be the leader of the Zealots, but also saw the downside of what they were arguing for. And so his nephew, Abba Sikra, actually suggested, let's get you out of here so that you can be able to plot the change in the blueprint. So you can be able to refound Yiddishkeit and be able to have that we're going to be able to survive the blowing up of our past blueprint with the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And so he suggested, have two of your Talmidim take you out in a coffin. And then you can set the terms of the new blueprint with Vespasian, who was the one who was giving siege to Yerushalayim. And so Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, took out the coffin with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had three requests of Vespasian. And to me, this is where the most pivotal, possibly one-liner in history is coming from. The first of his requests, four words that we still have echoes of today. Tain li Yavna v'chachamea. Give me Yavna, where there, and this is where Avos the Rebbe Nasan plugs in some of the details around it. I will go and teach my disciples. So first, the Limud HaTorah part. That was going to be what he was going to recreate in Yavna. And I will also establish tefillah. And so you've got the limud and the tefillah that are now becoming, instead of the Beis HaMikdash and the korbanos, the key next blueprint for Yiddishkeit. Baba Basra and Daf Yud talks about also, instead of the korbanos, tzedakah that's going to help atone for it. And then Abbas Rabbi Nasan also says, gemilos chasadim are going to be the ways in which Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to reform Yiddishkeit and be able to create it for the post-Churban era and be able to create that next blueprint for us. The other two things that he asked for, maintain the royal line of Rabbi Gamliel, be able to continue down through keeping the royalty in place, and then a physician to treat Rabbi Tzadok. That request, those pivotal four words, were actually opposed vociferously by Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef. This is what Gittin, Nun Vav, was telling us about the dynamics internally within it. The interesting thing is, though, that Echa Rabbah actually gives us a different perspective on it. The two of them, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef, thought that you should have asked for the Beis Hamikdash. You should have asked to not destroy it. But Eicha Rabbah tells us that actually he did. He begged for Yerushalayim, but was rejected by it. And actually, interestingly, lending support to that is that in Yavna, the Gemara tells us that when he reestablished the Sanhedrin, they didn't look like the Sanhedrin. They before that had looked like a semicircle. That's how they were set up, so that the enemy would not be able to tune into that. They actually set them up in rows, had other ways in which they had to mask it that would actually show that if he had gone all the way to asking for Yerushalayim, it actually would have possibly been refused. And then we went to God in even Yavna or any of the other ways that the new blueprint would exist. And so we had before the Beis HaMikdash blueprint, now replaced by the post-destruction blueprint, creating, if you will, portable Yiddishkeit. That in Galus, we would be able to take our Torah, our Limud, our Davening, and be able to have it spread to wherever that we were going. And so we had the new blueprint, decentralized shuls and Batei Midrash as the center of our worship and our learning, the Davening that is going to substitute for the Korbanos. And this is where we get to a very central thing that those of us who say Korbanos are capturing with these two blueprints. And so we have, this is coming from a pasuk in Hosea, Hosea Yud Dalet Gimel, Unashama Parim Sifatenu. It's actually the Haftorah that we didn't read today. This is the Haftorah for Vayelech, where we quote Hosea, Unashama Parim Sifatenu. Instead of our Parim, instead of our Korbanos, our animals, we will use Sifatenu, the words that we are uttering from our lips. And the capstone, for those of us who say Korbanos, captures exactly what we are talking about here. Let me read it to you and translate a little bit, but think about it through the lens of these blueprints. Ribon ha'olamim Hashem, originally you gave us the blueprint, atatzivitanu, me'akriv korban atamid b'moado, to bring the korban tamid, v'liyot, the key players in place, kohanim b'avodatam, levi'im b'duchunam, yisrael b'ma'amadam. But now, what happened? The shock from the outside, atab avonoteinu charab beis hamikdash, the Beis HaMikdash has now been destroyed. Batel HaTamid. The Tamid is gone. Ein lanu lo kohen b'avodato. We don't have the kohanim. Lo levi b'duchano. Lo Yisrael b'mamado. Our blueprint is gone. But what do we say then? Ve'ata amarta u'dashabah parim svatenu. You already gave us this direction through Yosheya that we should replace it with the things that Rabbi Yochanan created around the centerpiece now of Yiddishkeit. And therefore, lachem yiratzom ofanecha, Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, may you, Hashem, make it happen, Sheyehes, Siach Sitoteinu, Chashuv Umekubal Muratzah, that it should be as attractive to you, Lefanev Ki'ilu Hikravnu, Korban HaTamid B'Moado, that it should be the replacement for that Korban, B'Moado, B'Amadu Amamado. And so that's where we can see a microcosm of the refounding of Yiddishkeit, of the changing of the blueprint that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai led us through with that pivotal four words that was the way in which it was able to happen. Just quickly, one other thing to relate it to a concept that I think we've heard a bunch at YU that can also help us understand what kinds of things he was doing. Let's give it a brief case study from it. This is from Baba Basra, Daf Samach Amud Beis. In the aftermath of the destruction, there were a lot of Bnei Israel that were absolutely devastated. A bunch of them were moving to have the new blueprint actually be very much a mourning-based blueprint. They said, we can never again eat meat because of the korbanos that are gone now, drink wine because of that part of the avoda that we no longer have here. And so they were essentially saying, we've got to wipe out, in the interest of mourning, all of these practices that we have had. And so Talmid Muvak of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yeshua, engaged in a dialogue with them. Said, if there's no meat and wine, then that means you can't have bread either. Lechem apadim, the other ways in which that was part of the avoda. They said, yeah, okay, we'll get rid of that. Instead, we'll eat fruit. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, bikurim. You're going to have to get rid of fruit also. No way, no water either. You're not going to be able to over sukkahs, be able to use for the water ceremonies that we've been doing here. What they were striking was a balance between Zecher LeMikdash, remembering the Mikdash, but also Zecher LeKorban. They seem to be similar concepts. However, there's something, a phrase that you probably heard a bunch at YU, that helps us understand the difference between them and how it was critical for us to be able to now bring into our lives the way that we will do them. Those concepts are deeply rooted and forward focused. What is deeply rooted? That is the Zecher LeKorban. Those are the practices that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted for us to be able to remember the disaster and mark that. There's actually a quote from Rabbi Sacks. He quotes Winston Churchill that talks about the longer you can look back, deeply rooted, the further you can see forward, the more you can build towards the future and be forward focused. Or Rabbi Sacks himself put it, this is actually the Dvar Torah I saw today for this week's Parsha, people who carry their past with them can build the future without fear. And so being able to balance the two of them is what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rav Yeshua were trying to do. And so deeply rooted, there's the Zecher LeKorban practices that we have. So we have leaving a blank Amma v'bay Amma when we're building a house. That is Zecher LeKorban. Then there's those daily reminders that we have like that. And then there's also the events that we build in a Zecher LeKorban. So we have the four fasts on our calendar, Tisha B'Av being the most prominent of them, that help us be able to have the Zecher LeKorban. At a wedding, key event, the glass that we break, the ashes on the head of the chasan, the im eshkachech that we are saying there, and then key inflection points also, when you first went back to the kotel, the kriya that you rip. Those are all the classic things that are the Zecher LeKorban. However, that is the deeply rooted that can't crowd out the forward focus. And so the forward focus is where we anticipate and we work towards the return of the Mikdash in our daily lives and key events. This is captured in a metaphor. I actually heard this past Monday in Boston from Rav Willig. Rav Willig talked about in this metaphor of a king banishing his queen to another land, but telling her that she should keep dressing and acting as a queen so that when he brings her back, she will be able to leap right into reassuming her role. And so that's the same kind of thing, that our having practices that are forward-focused on our getting back the Beis HaMikdash are going to enable us to be ready to leap right back into it. So some of the things that we can be able to see on that side. So first on our daily practices, daily davening, saying korbanos that we already talked about at the beginning of davening, the end of davening, Shir Shel Yom, how do we introduce it? Hayom Yom blank, Beis HaMikdash, right there in the intro to our being able to say that. In the middle of davening, Mizmor Latoda, the Korban Toda that we've been talking about. To be able to remind ourselves about that also. Even how our shuls are designed to remind us. The Mizbeach in the middle, the Aron up at the front, the Kodesh HaKadosh, and where that would be. And then, in terms of the events and the holidays and things like that, the three regalim, we have all sorts of practices within there. The Kohanim, duchening barefoot. Some of the other things that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was instituting, remind us about that. The Arba Minim that the Torah only tells us to take for one day, but instead we take it throughout Sukkos. The Seder, we actually call out the most prominent of Zecher LeMikdash. What is that? Kore, great. Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, where we are embodying what we are working towards of being able to have it in the real. Of being able to have the Korban Pesach that we can eat, Yafikoman instead of the Korban Pesach, Neros Hanukkah that we are lighting Parsha Shkalim, all of these are key ways in which we are going to have also the forward focus part of Zecher LeMikdash and building it into our lives. So now let's just end our Masechtas, taking a look at each of them and integrating into the things that we've been talking about. So at the end of Gittin, again, the last Masechta at the first half of Shas, it talks about that the Mizbeach is in tears about a divorce when you have a get that's given. Why would it use that metaphor of the Mizbeach? There's all sorts of other things that you could use to be able to mark that. So we can frame that by taking a look at the Haftorah that we recently read for Akev. We have Yeshayahu from the 50th parak there, who talks about Ko Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Eze Sefer Kritut, Imchem Asher Shilachtiha. What is the Sefer Kritut? What is that? The Sefer Kritut? That's the get. What is the get that Hashem gave to us that now I have sent you out, B'nai Yisrael? And so, interestingly, you can look across all of Gittin at the Agadita that we have within the Masechta, And the dominant theme is focusing on the Korban, the get that Hashem gave us, the way that Hashem sent us into exile, as being the things that we are marking when it comes to the mourning for that. If we look at how can we help reverse that exile, that divorce, that's where we have some of the lessons that we can take away from this. So first off, Rav Kook tells us in his Hakdama to the Mishpat Kohen, that's his Sheos and Truvas regarding Eretz Yisrael, the purpose of Zecher LeMikdash is to keep alive learning about the mitzvahs of the Mikdash. Daf Yomi, a key way that we can do that, with the forgotten Masechtas, being able to learn about Tzvachim and everything else, and then also strengthening our yearning to do those mitzvahs. Strengthening the appropriate mitzvahs that we can do that will set us up for being able to have the post-Mashiach ability to do these things. The end of Nida talks about Shone Halachas B'chol Yom, Halichos and Halachas. What is Halichos? It's the ways we go through life. The path that we have plotted on the way to it. How can we act every day and develop ourselves so we can excel as Torah-grounded professionals in the workplace and in the community? That's how we can set the table for being able to come to the next stage, the new blueprint that we're going to be able to revisit along the way from there. And so we can actually learn from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Midos as we take a look at it, what we should embody on our way to that. So first Mida that struck me, very much these resonated with me, Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. It talks about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shelo Hikdimo Adam Shalom Me'olam Ve'afilu Nochri B'Shuk. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai would leap to greet everyone, even the Nochri and the Shuk. This is one of the things that it's very difficult to do. When I'm walking down the street, when I'm walking across campus, I try to embody Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, saying good morning to people. Well, at times will just keep walking right by me, but I've done my job to try to embody Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, all sorts of ways, being able to have the achdus that's going to come from that. One thing to mention to you, I'm going to be dusting off something that I sent out a year ago that I'm going to be sending out Bli Neder this week. It is going to be something that we had facilities compile of the names and pictures of all the people who help us on campus. Facilities, food service, maintenance. When I send it out, please take a look through there. Find at least one person you interact with, greet them by name, ask them how they are doing, and start a conversation with them. For me, that's actually developed into a very close relationship with Louise in the parking garage, as I get updates every day about what his son and daughter are doing, and with all sorts of other people who are doing things within campus. Find at least one person to be able to do that. Increase our achdus within the campus, just like Rameir Shapiro was trying to do with Daf, and just like what we saw with Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai embodying it. And this Shabbaton, and that's bringing a lot more achdus, is another element of it. Your coming here hopefully help build a lot more of that unity. Second thing is humility, the anivus of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. When his Rebbe Hillel was ill, he looked around at all the Talmidim who were around. He didn't see Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was told Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is waiting outside. And so he asked, where is he? Well, he called him even an Av LeChokhmah ve'Av LeDorot. He's going to be huge. Where is he? Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was outside. He didn't feel like he was worthy of coming into there. So the anivus of what he was bringing to it, another thing that we should be able to see how we can embody it in Yiddishkeit. Another thing that he did, Sukkah Daf Chaf Ches, never wasted a moment. He didn't go four amos without learning. There's probably some people who have been seeing me walking around campus with my svarim. I try to drill into my kids, ABS. Always bring a sefer. Always have something on you so that you'll be able to make the most of every minute. That's something that I got from Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. And so we saw these midos of his. Hopefully we can be able to have ways in which we're going to be able to embody it. Learn from his example. Learn from the example of Rameir Shapiro. And be able to have ways that we're going to be able to make all of these things happen. Be able to set the table for what's going to come next. Just to end, this is in contrast that we had in terms of the divorce from Hashem to something that we just read in the Haftorah today. We have from today's Haftorah the words of Yeshayahu. If we can be able to get to that point, what is it going to be for us? Very famous words. Misos chatan al kala, like a chasan, is rejoicing over his kala, not post-divorce,
but pre-marriage or at the marriage, may Hashem be able to rejoice with us when that day comes, as we bring a lot closer through our practices the things that we are doing to be able to embody what is needed to be able to bring the Mashiach. So with that, Hadran Alach. Hadran Alach, Masega Gittin, Masega Nida, Betalmud Bavli, Behadra Chalan. Datan Alach, Masega Nida, Masega Gittin, Betalmud Bavli, Bedata Chalan. Lashiminach Masega Nida, Masega Gittin, Betalmud Bavli, Lashiminan, Loba Alma Hadem, Loba Mahadasi. Hadran Alach, Masega Nida, Begittin, Betalmud Bavli. Hadra Chalan. Datan Alach, Masega Nida, Begittin, Betalmud Bavli, Bedata Chalan. Lashiminach Masega Nida, Begittin, Betalmud Bavli, Lashiminan, Loba Alma Hadem, Loba Mahadasi. Hadran Alach Masega Nida Begittin Betalmud Bavli Behadra Chalan Datan Alach Masega Nida Begittin Betalmud Bavli Data Chalan Rishiminach Masega Nida Begittin Betalmud Bavli Rishiminach Lo Ba'ama Adem Lo Ba'ama Da'ase Here's all of an Echad and I will end up with a Tainu Shetei Jorad Kam when a Tainu Balam Azeh Jiye Mano Lo Ma Ba Chanina Bar Papa Rami Bar Papa Nachman Bar Papa Achad Bar Papa Abamari Bar Papa Rafim Bar Papa Rakhish Bar Papa Esurcha Bar Papa Adar Bar Papa Adaru Bar Papa Harevna, may you bring sweet into our mouths. Harevna, Adonai Eloheinu, at Divrei Torah Chavafinu, Fifiyot Amcha Beit Yisrael. Nachnu Kulanu, Anachnu Tzitzayinu, Tzitzay Amcha Beit Yisrael, Kulanu Yudei Shmecha, Yudei Tartaka Lishma, Nehavaita Kamehu, Yisotaka Gilam Hili, Hili Bi Tamim Bukhukecha Laman, Lo Evosh, Man Loish Kach Bekudecha Gilam Kitani, Ruchat Adonai, Lamdeinu Kukecha, Amen, 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 Selava Eid. Thank you, Hashem. Modim anachnu lefanecha, Adonai Eloheinu, Eloheinu, Avoteinu. Shesamta chokeinu yoshrei beivadan midrash. Ma samta chokeinu yoshrei kranot. Shana mashkinu vehe mashkinu. Ana mashkinu adrei Torah. Vehe mashkinu adrei metelim. Ana omeyam vehe mamelim. Ana omeyam kamim skar vehe mamel veena mekamim skar. Ana ratzim vehe mratzim. Ana ratzim lachei olam haba. Vehe mratzim vehe shakat shenemar. Vetalim toridim vehe shakat. Ashe damim mirma lo yichutsu yameh vani yavtach bach. Yiratzol vanecha, Adonai Elohai. Kishem shah zatani l'sayim, Masechet Nida, Masechet Gittin, Talmud Bavli. Kein tazrinu akhil masektoz, Svarim acherim, Zlai Slaima. Lil moru lame, Lishmor l'aso l'kayim, Kol tibiru talmud tera teka b'yava. Uskut kol tanaim, Ramarayim, Talmidei chakamim. Yamod liyu zari, Shlotamush, Atarami pi, Vipi zari, Vizera zari adalam. Kigayim bi, Vachachat, Anche otach, Shokachat, Yishmor alecha, Vitzvata, Hiti, Sikacha. Yamli Kutcha Brichum, Akhotevi Kare, Bukhaikon Yamechon, Bukhaikovet Israel, Bagalabis Makari, Bimru, Amen. Yehesh me Rabbah Mibarach, Leolam, Lome, Omaya, Yitbarach, Bishabach, Bitbarbit Raman, I say, Jadavid Laman Laws, made a good shot, Brichu, Lelambin Kober Khatavish Yirata, Jushkatav Nekwatad, Rabbi Amah, Bimru, Amen. Al Yisrael v'Rabbanan v'al Tamideon v'al Kol Tamidei Tamideon v'al Koman Niskim v'Raita Diva Atra Adem v'Diva Kol Atar v'Atar Yehe Lahon Uchon Shlom Rabbah Chin v'Chis d'Rachamin v'Chayin Arichin Mezona Revichei V'Rakana Mikadama v'an Yishmaya v'Ara v'Imru Amen Yehe Shalom Shemaya v'Chayim Alinu v'al Kol Yisrael v'Imru Amen Oseh Shalom v'Rimav Hu Yaseh Shalom Alinu V'al kol Yisrael v'imru. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.